Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Young Fulton Reed, and this is the Real Talk for Real People Study Show, a show that is designed to give you a bird's eye view of the Most High in accordance to him, his laws, commandments, so on and so forth, and how you should interact with him and also with one another and also strangers, different nations. But before we get started, I always like to make commentaries on contemporary subject matters. One thing I'd like to speak on is, I know some of you are trying to escape the madness, just like Yom Sufi is. That's understandable. But even in, while you're trying to escape, don't get caught up in the trap of their words. They got a whole lot of words. They got warehouses of words. You can get caught up in their words. Sometimes the words don't mean very much to them. And yes, you can get trapped just looking at their words. What they said, when they said, and how they said. And it doesn't make very much sense, and it doesn't do you very much good. Just caught up in a tomb of words. A tomb of words. And as I said, they have warehousing and tombs of words. But it means very little to some of them. The word they call democracy. Universal white race supremacy can care less about democracy. Universal white race supremacy only cares about universal white race supremacy. They don't care nothing about no words. Words, words, we don't care about no stinking words. Not only did universal white race supremacy attack the U.S. Capitol, it has made a mockery of their democracy. You know, we've been in this situation for quite a long time. Brothers and sisters who look somewhat remotely like me, we've been in this situation, but we never attacked the Capitol. Not like universe. They think they got all due rights and privilege to do so. They think they can do whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it, and however they want to do it. And so that seems to be the case there. See, that's why I don't want you to get caught up in the tombs of words. Man, it'll help them, but it ain't going to do much for you. Yeah, they had a brother that was caught up in the madness. He got kind of elated. He thought he was one of them. He's still locked up. Caught up in the tomb of their words. You can get caught up. You get trapped in their words. So don't you get caught up in their words, okay? The only words you need to be caught up in is what we're about to study now. Because in these words, you can find some relief. You can find some solution. It's not a tomb of dead words, okay? But before we get started, let me bring my brother and friend on from New York City, Cartrell. May the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. Shalom, Brother Yom Sufari. May the Most High bless you.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend. Thank you very much. May he bless you, too, and your family.
Thank you. Modern day leaders or universal white racist supremacist system, they come from a rebellious ancestry. They're the ones that rebelled against the king, right? So the king, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island. We've taken it. And they took it from the king, right?
So exactly.
They got that rebellious nature in them, and they reflecting the people that they are, just like we reflect the people that we are. And our enemies know us better than we know ourselves, which is why they accentuate our weaknesses. So we like idols. So they made America the land where you could worship any god, any religion.
They got plenty of them.
Yep. And what else we like? We like to fight and bicker and argue with each other.
Yep, we certainly like to do that.
They put the Willie Lynch in effect. So they know us from ancient times that we didn't quite get along with each other. From the time that Joseph's brothers threw him in a well, sold him, told their father that a wild beast killed him. They know us.
They know us.
And they accentuate our weaknesses, and we fall right into the trap, just like you said, because they ain't got no good intention for us, just like Balaam and Balak.
Yeah.
They was going to use curse words to curse us, right?
Uh-huh.
But they found out they couldn't curse us. They had to bless us because of the powers of the Most High. So you can't curse us, but you can accentuate our weaknesses. So what do? They sent the women in there, right? But they smooth words.
Accentuated our weaknesses.
And we fell for the okie doke, didn't we?
Yeah. You can see it on Foolsbook, Cartrell. You can see it on Foolsbook, the accentuation of our weaknesses. You know, some of these brothers, they'll sit at the feet of these sisters. These sisters be talking about a whole lot of nonsense. You'll find 300, 600 brothers. That's, yes, ma'am. Yeah, you're so right. You let Young Soup or Cartrell say something. Oh, man, them niggas ain't know. They don't know what they talking about. Do you really lie? Go ahead, Cartrell.
Hey, I don't feel bad. They were saying the same thing about Moses and Aaron, wasn't it?
Them niggas don't know what they talking about.
The whole 40 years.
Yeah. It certainly did, Cartrell.
But, you know, if you're on Fool's Book, you're a fool. Exposing your dirty laundry. It started with Maury Povich and Jerry Springer. Our people airing out their dirty laundry in public. So now they done made it sophisticated. Yeah. Talk about your issues on Facebook.
Right.
It's a social media outlet.
Right. And they tell everything. They tell all. And then some. And yours too. While they're at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I walk the path of righteousness, so you ain't gonna find too much dirt on me.
But no.
You might find some, because I ain't perfect, but
well, if I tell
you have
dirty
to look mighty hard.
Yeah, well, if I tell dirty, but more so like King Dogwood, I tell it on me. I tell about my past and my past experience and so on and so forth, and thank the Most High that I'm not like that man anymore. Although a lot of people like to put me in that Kodak moment. I'm not in that Kodak moment, okay? But as far as other people, businesses and whatnot, I don't put other people's business on Front Street like that. It's not my business. So that's what it's not called food book for nothing, Cartrell.
You're right. Democracy, demonocracy is the exact opposite of what the Most High wants for us. You can't do what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it, whenever you want to do it. That's totally opposite of what the Most High, who claims us as his people. We belong to him. That's what the redemption is all about. No, you can't. No, you contracted to me. We're contracted to the Most High based on our ancestors. So we breaking the contract every time we rebel or we try to do things the Western way with a Western mentality in a democracy. That ain't us.
Well, you know, they're pushing the homosexual agenda. Because if you've seen, at first they were pushing a little pill, meaning if you had AIDS or whatnot, you still get your boyfriend because it's not going to affect them. Now I noticed the eyeglass of Wabi or Darby or whatnot, and the little boy come on there with his pink hair, and he just as sweet as bear meat. Yeah, they're my glasses. I love my glasses. Look at it. So they're pushing that agenda right on us too, okay?
And a brother's in that commercial with him, ain't he?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's their agenda. They think that Biden is better than Trump. But it was Biden and Obama that opened Pandora's box for the LGBT community.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
The beat goes on. Continuation. spiritual degradation.
That's what it is. You know, and Biden has signed all these executive orders. And I think only one of those executive orders affected us. Out of all those 42 executive orders, and I think about one of them affected us in it. But we got him in office. Those of us don't know, got him in office. And so I think one executive order that he put out gave us any semblance of relief.
And it's probably the last one that he signed.
God, yeah, stop. That's it. Let's get started. Cartier, you man. I wouldn't doubt it, Cartier. Look here.
Yes.
Turn to chapter.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Because wasn't it Stacey Abrams?
Yeah.
And the brother?
Yep. Yep.
Clyburn? That's his name? Clyburn?
No, Clyburn. Yeah, Clyburn from South Carolina and Stacey Abrams.
He endorsed Joe Biden when Joe Biden, they thought he was in the dumps.
Right. Got him out
and
the dumps.
They boosted his campaign, didn't they?
They saved him.
And neither one of them got a job in the administration, do they?
Neither one of them.
Okay. Just saying.
That's how they do. That's how they do. Turn to chapter 3 of Dvarim, Moses' farewell words to the nation. Some of you call it Deuteronomy, but it's the third chapter of Dvarim. Turn to Dvarim. And the third chapter, and we're going to get started. Thank you, Katya. We're going to get started. Thank you, brother. And we're going to get started in our studies. May the Most High bless you by the study of his word, and most importantly, the application of his. You know, me and Katya, we don't preach it. We're not preachers. We're not Sherlock preachers. But now we try to teach it. We don't try to preach it, but we certainly, and sometimes we get excited about what we're saying, but we're not preachers. We're not so-called pastors or whatnot, but we shall try to teach you some things that you didn't know.
More like historians, archaeologists.
Yeah. Keyword, archaeologists.
The book of Dvarim is like Moses' presidential address to the nation. This is where they get presidential addresses, you know.
Right. The state of the nation.
State of the nation.
Okay, y'all ready? We made our way up the road toward Bashan, and the king of Og of Bashan, with all his men, took the field against us at Edrei. But the Elohim said to me, "Do not fear him, for I have delivered him and all his men and his country into your power. You will do to him as you did to Sihon, king of Amorites, who lived at Heshbon." So Yah, I, Elohim, also delivered into our power the king Og of Bashan with all his men, his fighting men, and we dealt them such a blow that no survivor was left. At that time, we captured all the towns that we did not take from them, 60 towns, the whole district of Argop, the kingdom of Og in Bashan, all those towns fortified with high walls and gates, bars apart from a great number of unwalled towns in addition. We doomed them.
How many cities?
60. Let me go back for a minute. Such a blow. Fortified great numbers of unwalled. We captured them with a town. 60 towns.
I bet you can't even name 60 cities in America.
Man, come on. Some of them can't name six. Keep it real.
That's a lot of cities, though.
Yes,
they captured 60 cities before they finished capturing the rest of the land.
That whole land. And we doomed every town, men, women, and children. Sometimes you have to do that. And retain as booty all the cattle and the spoil of the town. Thus we seized at that time from the Amorite kings the country beyond the Jordan from the wall, from the Wadi Arnon to Mount Hermon. The Sidonians call Hermon Sharion, and the Amorites call it Shinea. All the towns of the Tablin, the whole Gilead and Bashan as far as Shalia, and Edreth, the towns of Og's kingdom in Bashan. Only King Og of Bashan was left of the remaining Rephaim, the big guys, the big giants. And they went on to let you know how tall this fellow was. He said, the king, his bedstead, his bed, and iron bed in Rabbah of the Ammonite, it was 9 cubits long and 4 cubits wide by the standard cubit. About 13 feet. That's a big fellow. Goddamn. What a man, what a body, big man. Hey, that was the, stop it, Cardrell. He's a big fella.
My goodness. I'm not even 6 feet up.
Leah Cardrell, I'll tell you.
I'm a little fella.
Leah, I throw a little salt and pepper on him. What a man. What a mighty big man.
Oh, yeah. It didn't matter, though, because we smashed him, didn't we?
Yeah, for sure, bro. For sure.
So their fathers, who were scared of these giants, their sons proved more brave and more valiant than them, didn't they?
Went up against them.
Every one of them, and smashed exactly. Every one of them, didn't they?
Exactly.
So the children is doing their thing. The children of the children. Came out of Egypt.
Yeah, they're doing what needs to be done.
Yep. So they're getting victory before they take the rest of the land.
Exactly.
By following what Yah is telling them to do.
Following what Yah tells them to do. And this is the land which we apportioned at that time. Apart from Aroah, along the Wadi Arnon, with part of the hill country of Gilead, and its town, I assigned to the Reubenites and the Gadites. The rest of Gilead and all of Bashan, under Og's rule, the whole Gabbath district, all of that part of Bashan, which is called Rephaim country, big man country. I assigned it to the half tribe of Manasseh. Jar, son of Manasseh, received the whole Agar district, that is Bashan, as far as the boundary of Geshurites and Machirites, and named it after himself, Habor Jar. It is still the case. To Marsha, I assigned Gilead, and to the Reubenites and the Gadites, I assigned a part from Gilead down to the Wadi Arnon, the middle of the Wadi being the boundary, up to the Wadi Jabbok, the boundary of the Ammonites. We also seized the Araba from the foot of the slopes of Pisgah, on the east side to the edge of the Jordan, and from Shinnereth down to the Sea of Araba, the Dead Sea. At that time, I charged you, saying, Yah, your Elohim, has given you this country to possess. You must go as shock troops, the elite troop, the Green Beret, the Marines, warriors, all at the head of your Israelite kinmen. Only your wives, children, and livestock, I know that you have much livestock, shall be left in the town I have assigned to you, until the Elohim has granted your kinsmen, your folks, your other tribes, a haven such as you have. They too have taken possession, and they too have taken a possession of the land that Yah, your Elohim, is assigning them beyond the Jordan. Then you may return to the homestead I have assigned to you, where your women and your livestock and your children are hanging out till you get back. I also charged Yahshua at that time, saying, you have seen with your own eyes all that that Yah, your Elohim, has done to these two kings. So shall Yah do to all the kingdoms into which you shall cross over. Do not fear them, for it is Yah, your Elohim, who will battle for you. You ain't got to worry about you. It is Yah, your Elohim, who will battle for you. You just got to get out there and do what he tell you to do. I pleaded with Yah at that time, saying, O Yah, Oh, yeah, Elohim. You who let your servants see the first works of your greatness and your mighty hand. You who powerful deeds, no God in heaven on earth can equal. Let me, I pray, cross over the Jordan and see the good land on the other side of the Jordan, that good hill country in Lebanon. But Yah was mad at me. He was wrathful with me. On your account, Yah the cause of me being in this situation. And would not listen to me because of Yah. I'm letting y'all know what's up. The Elohim said to me, enough, Moses. Never speak to me of this matter again. I don't want to rap. Go up to the summit of Pisgah and gaze over to the west and the north, to the south and to the east. Look at it well. For you should not go across yonder Jordan. Give Yahshua his instruction like I told you. And bud him with strength and courage like I told you. For he shall go across ahead of his people, and he shall allot to them the land that you may only see. Meanwhile, we stayed at the valley near Beth-peor. Moses was letting them know, reason why I ain't going, because of y'all. Y'all called out. I wanted to go. I wanted to be with y'all. Moses, I got mad at me when I brought it up. He said, I won't rap. What'd I tell you? Now, going up there, and look north, south, east, and west. Look at everything. But you ain't going over there. You do what I tell you to do. Did but Yahshua with courage and strength to lead this nation. He's going to take them across. You've seen what you're going to see. Go ahead, Katria. What's your commentary?
It shows that Yah is just and fair. Nobody's above the law, right?
Not even Moses.
Not even Moses. So, as much as you want to plead and beg me to go in the land, no, you're not going. I told you, no, you're not going.
Right.
And now you're letting the people know. I tried, you know, my best to appeal to Yah's mercy and kindness for my own sake, and he wouldn't let me go. And he's trying to tell him if he wouldn't let me do it because I disobeyed, y'all better pay attention to what y'all are saying.
What do you think he's going to do to you?
Right. What do you think y'all going to do to you if he did that to me?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lesson for all time. That's a lesson for all time.
Right? Now, Moses is still educating the people.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And he's transferring power to the next generation. Right?
Well,
he ain't trying to stay there forever and be the great leader, the great one that people worship and bow down to. No, you got to transfer that power. It's not yours forever.
What you say? Friday, Katria, the peaceful transfer of power.
There you go. That's where they got it from, because that's what it was. Because Moses could have been, nah, I'm not teaching Joshua. Forget that. I'm just going to go back to see my father-in-law, Jethro.
Hey, look here.
He spoke out here.
What Moses could have done, Katria? They stole the boat. They stole the vote. They stole the
what now?
They stole the election. They stole the election.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they always steal election.
Yeah, well.
They call it the Electoral College.
Yeah. Moses was no fool. Moses didn't play with y'all. Going up to the Hebrew Israelite talking about Yahshua stole the election.
Well, you're laughing, but they in Israel, in the nation of Israel today, modern day Israel, they don't have a priesthood, they don't have a king. What they got?
A democracy, so called
right.
Democracy.
Yeah, I wasn't talking democracy, was he?
No.
So if you're the people of Israel, why would you set up a democracy? And if you're calling yourself Judah, or the tribe of Judah, or you're calling yourself Jewish, where's the king? Because Judah is the king. Or the royal seat of the house of the nation of Israel is in Judah. England got a king and a royal house.
Yeah, they would have come out much better establishing, looking. Well, we know it ain't right. But they would have came out looking a little bit better if they had a kingdom set up instead of a democracy. At least it would have appeared to be right, even though we know it's not. You know what I mean?
So, Israelites, the ancient Israelite nation is an Eastern people. and the people that's in Israel now are supposedly an Eastern people, but you adopting a Western philosophy and doctrine and government?
Yeah. You know that ain't right.
How'd that work?
You know
something
it ain't
right.
Something ain't right. You know that ain't right. I contrary, fellow students. They that came out looking a little bit better, even though we know it's not right, to set up a kingdom with a king. But when you what Mama said, Cartrell, when you do wrong follow you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they Israel they supposed to have what? How many cities of refuge?
6 cities.
If we go to the land of Israel today, under the government of Israel today, do they have 6 cities of refuge?
Man, they ain't got 1 city. They got prisons.
Okay.
You can't run to them, they'll put you in them.
So a lot of things don't fit because we see Yah is very specific with his detailed instruction. As a matter of fact, he's reiterating it, regurgitating it, repeating it over and over so they can get it, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
And repetition makes it perfect.
Well, we didn't have
something. You have to do it 10,000 times.
The only thing close to a prison was what we had were the cities of refuge. Every other matter was dealt with. Well, we didn't lock up people like that, you know. The only thing we had close to a penal system was the 6 cities of refuge. That's the only thing we had close to that. I don't recall them setting up prisons, Cartrell. Okay.
And how long they been there? They should have been set up the 6 cities of refuge, right?
Yeah, they should have been set up, but not one of them is set up.
They're not even talking about it, are they?
Yeah, and not only that, Cartrell, strangers could run to those cities too. Different nations could run to those cities of refuge too.
So why do they have an immigration policy if you're supposed to treat the stranger like a homeborn?
Well, because they're following Western concept, Cartrell.
They certainly not treating the Palestinians like homeborn, and they've been there longer than them.
That's what I'm saying. Far longer than them. They treat
them
just like
not quite right. Most of tells the Israelites to treat the stranger like what?
Like you treat each other like a brother or sister.
Because you know how it is to be treated like a stranger. That's what he said.
Because you once were.
That's right.
You're supposed to treat folk right because you know how it is to be treated wrong. Okay?
Uh-huh.
You know how it feels to be treated wrong, a second-class citizen. You don't treat people like that. Okay?
So even if they are the people, they're violating Yah's law, aren't they?
Truth be told, they are, Cartrell. They certainly are.
Okay. All right. And punishment comes behind that because you're violating Yah's law. That's how his story goes. History.
True.
Our story.
Truth be told, Cartrell. Truth be told.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Cartrell, have you done with your commentaries, brother? I'm done. And we're going to move right along. The 4th chapter. Thank you, brother. May the Most High bless you by the study of his word and most importantly, the application of his word. And now, O Israel, give heed to the laws and the rules that I am instructing you to observe so that you may live to enter and occupy the land that Yah, the Elohim of your fathers, is giving you. You should not add anything to what I command you or take away from it, but keep the commandments of Yah, your Elohim, that I enjoin upon you. You saw with your own eyes that Yah did in the matter of Bapura, that Yah, your Elohim, wiped out from among you every person who followed Bapura, while you who have fast to Yah, your Elohim, are still alive today. See, I have imparted to you laws and rules, codes and specifications, as Yah, your Elohim, has commanded me, for you to abide by in the land. that you are about to enter and occupy. Observe them faithfully in the land, for that will be a proof of your wisdom and discernment to other people, not your preaching on a rock. Not your preaching on a rock, but will be proof to other people, your wisdom and discernment to other people by you following the words of Yah in the land. To other people who is hearing of all these laws, on who of hearing all these laws was said, surely that great nation is wise and discerning. For what great nation is there that has a God so close at hand as Yah, our Elohim, whenever we call upon him? Or what great nation has laws and rules, codes, and specifications as perfect as his teaching that I set before you this day? But take utmost care and watch yourself scrupulously, so that you do not forget the things that you saw with your own eyes, so that they do not fade from your mind as long as you live. Make them known to your children and your children's children, the day you stood before Yah, your Elohim, in Horeb, when Yah said to me, gather the people to me, that I might let them hear my words in order, that they may learn to revere me as long as they live on earth, and may teach their children. You came forth, stood at the foot of the mountain. The mountain was ablaze with flames on to the very sky, dark with dense clouds. The Elohim spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sounds of words, but perceived no shape. You didn't see nobody, nothing but a voice. He declared to you the covenant. He commanded you to observe the Ten Commandments. He inscribed them on two tables of stone at the same time. The Elohim commanded me to impart to you laws and rules, codes and specifications for you to observe in the land that you are about to cross into and occupy. For your own sake, therefore, be most careful. You saw no shape when Yahweh Elohim spoke to you at Horeb out of the fire, not to act wickedly, and make for yourself a sculpted image in any likeness, whatever, the form of a man or a woman, the form of any beast on earth, the form of any winged bird that flies in the sky, in the form of anything that creeps on the earth, in the form of any fish that is in the water below the earth. And when you look up the sky, up to the sky, and behold the sun, the moon, and the stars, the whole heavenly host, you must not be lured into bowing down to them or serving them. People try to lure you into them. These Yah, your Elohim, allotted to other peoples everywhere under the sun. Yeah, other people can do it if they want, but you, your Elohim, took and brought out of Mizraim, that iron blast furnace. That place was an iron blast furnace to y'all, to be his very own people, as is now the case. And he goes on to explain to them. Now, Yah was angry with me on your account and swore that I should not cross the Jordan and enter the good land that Yah, your Elohim, has assigned to you as a heritage. For I must die in this land, should be a warning to you. I shall not cross the Jordan, but you will cross. I ain't mad at you. And take possession of that good land. Take care. Then, and not forget the covenant that Yah, your Elohim, concluded with you. And not to make yourself a sculptured image in any likeness. Any, a man on a cross, a fish, John the Baptist, a rock, nothing. Any likeness against which Yah, your Elohim, has enjoined you. For Yah, your Elohim, is a consuming fire, an impassioned Yah. He feels something fierce about this thing, making idols. When you have begotten children and children's children, and long have established yourself in the land, should you act wickedly and make for yourself sculptured images, you ain't going to get away. When you get set up in the land and you start making yourself sculptured images in any likeness, calling Yah, your Elohim, this pleasure and vexation. I call heaven and earth this day to witness against you that you should perish from the land that you are crossing, and certainly we did, the Jordan, to possess. You should not long endure in that. You ain't going to be that long, but should be utterly wiped out, and certainly we were. The Elohim would scatter you among the people, and certainly we are. Only a scant few of you shall be left among the nations, and certainly what we are, to which Yah would drive you. There you would serve man-made gods, and certainly we do, of wood and stone. Yep, they got wooden crosses, and they got a whole lot of idols. They call them statues that we're caught up in and entombed in a trap, looking for solutions in their constitution. They cannot see, hear, eat a smell, caught up in a trap. But if you search there, if you look for me, wherever you at, stop looking for them for solutions. In them, there is no solution. In their dead man tombs of words. In these places, here's a resolution. The only resolution you have, not a constitution. But if you search there for Yah, your Elohim, you will find him. If only you seek him with all your heart and soul. And when you are in distress with COVID-19, because of all these things have befallen you, in the end, here's your solution. Return to Yah, your Elohim, and obey him. For Yah, your Elohim, is a compassionate God. He loves you. He would not fail you, nor will he let you perish by COVID-19 or anything else, or the dead man tombs. He would not forget the covenant which he made on an oath with your fathers. You have but to inquire about bygone ages that came before you. Ever since Yah created man on earth, from one end of the heaven to the other. Has anything as grand as this ever happened? What is about happening now? Choosing this nation? Has it ever been known that they have chosen us? Has any people heard the voice of Yah as we've heard speaking out of the fire? As you have and survived? Or has any God ventured to go and take for himself one nation, if we've been taken by Yah from the midst of another people, of another, by a prodigious act? He took us from the servitude, from a blast furnace out of misery. And he took us by signs and portents, by war, by a mighty and outstretched hand, and an awesome power, as Yah, your Elohim, did for you. You didn't do it for yourself, in misery. Right before your very eyes, it has been clearly demonstrated to you that Yah alone is the Elohim. There ain't nobody else. There's none beside him. From the heavens, he let you hear his voice to discipline you on earth. He let you see his great fire. And from amidst that fire, you heard his words. And because he loved your fathers, the reason why you're here. He chose their heirs after them. He himself, in his great might, led you out of misery. Ain't now one of you led nobody nowhere. Now one of you could lead each other across the street. But he led you out of misery to drive you from your path nations greater, and to drive from your path nation greater and more populous than you, to take you into their land and assign it to you as an inheritance, as is still the case. Know therefore this day, as I speak in mind, that Yah alone is Elohim in heaven above and on the earth below. Ain't none before him. And there's no other. I don't care what they tell you. Observe his laws and commandments, which I enjoin upon you this day, that it may go well with you and your children after you, that you may long remain in the land that Yah, your Elohim, is assigned to you for all time. If you don't, there will be consequences. Then Moses set aside three cities on the east side of the Jordan, to which a manslayer could escape, one who unwittingly slew a fellow man without having been hostile to him in the past. He could flee to one of these cities and live. Berezer in the wilderness of the tableland belonging to the Reubenites, Ramoth in Gilead belonging to the Gadites, Golan in Bashan belonging to the Manassites. This is the teaching that Moses set before the Israelites. These are the decrees and rules, the codes and specifications that Moses addressed to the people of Israel since they had left Mizraim beyond the Jordan in the valley of Beth-Por, the land of King Shihon of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, whom Moses and the Israelites defeated after they left Mizraim. They had taken possession of his country and that of King Og of Bashan, two kings of Amorites, which were on the east side of the Jordan, from Aroer on the banks of the Wadi Arnon, as far as Mount Sion, and that is Hermon, also the whole Araba, on the east side of the Jordan, as far as the sea of Araba, at the foot of the slope of Pisgah. And that concludes that chapter. Katja, I had to turn your mic off because I don't know what you were doing over there. But you make so much racket, I had to turn your mic off. But I'm turning back on to get your commentary. May the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Yeah, you heard a piece of paper in my hand.
Oh, yeah, you would rattle it, bro. Yeah. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, this is Moses' speech to the children that's coming out of Egypt in the wilderness. And he's reiterating the message and the things that they saw and the things that they heard. He's reminding them that they got to stick to what the Most High is saying. And the fact that he gives us the antidote to when we are scattered because we didn't indeed listen to his word, he told us how to get back. He said, indeed, inquire about the past before you were born. He said, seek him. Adonai will scatter you among the peoples and amongst the nations, which Yah will lead you away. You'll be left few in number. So this is chapter 4. He's already telling us we're going to be scattered way before Deuteronomy 28.
Yep.
And
he
then
knew
he's giving us the antidote. Yes.
Right. He knew us, Katriel. He knew us.
Yeah. He said, Yah will scatter you amongst the people. However, this is the antidote right here, what we got to do. Do we have to redo the laws? Do we have to institute the laws that he's talking about in this land? That's not what he said, is it?
No.
He said, however, from there, what we got to do, seek Yah, your Elohim, right?
Right, right.
And you will find him if you search after him with all your heart and all your soul.
That's
in
all
your distress, right?
Yeah, that's what he told you to do. Anything else for you to be establishing things and whatnot and setting up this and setting up that in your enemy's land, he ain't told you none of that. You take it upon yourself to do a whole lot of extra. He ain't told you to do nothing. Read that again, Katria, what he told us to do in these lands of captivity. Will you please read it for them? Because I'm not saying it, but this is what Yah said. Katria, will you please read that again?
So he's letting us know when we're in these scattered lands, in our distress. He says, however, from there, you will seek Yah, your Elohim. Don't say if you seek him. He knows we will, and that's what we're doing. And you will find him. Have we found him?
Yep.
How do we find him? Did he come speak to us like he spoke to Moses? Or did we go searching for it ourselves?
We went searching.
That's what he told us to do, right?
We studied it. Right.
Seek and you shall find. We'll return to Yah, your Elohim, and listen to what he says. How do you listen to what he says when he ain't actually talking to you like he talked to Moses? Oh, he did leave his word on record, didn't he?
Exactly.
So when you're reading, you're listening to what he says, right? Because that's what we're doing now.
Bingo.
This is what he's saying.
Bingo.
For Yah, your Elohim, is merciful. And that's our out card right there. That's our salvation. That's our redemption. Because Yah is merciful. Not because he's righteous. It didn't say because y'all are righteous in the land of your captivity and y'all observing my law, statutes, and commandments over there. It doesn't say that.
No, it doesn't.
When you're distressed, when you call upon him, when all this stuff has come upon you, you being scattered, and you return to Yah. How? And listen to him with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might. Because Yah is merciful. What do you say? He will not fail you, destroy you, or forget the covenant with your ancestors, which he swore to them. So we just make the reconnect in order for Yah to remember the covenant that he made with our ancestors, the father, our fathers, not George Washington, father of America, but our fathers, Abraham, not Abraham Lincoln, but Abraham, who came from Ur of the Chaldee.
Right.
When we connect with Yah, Yah's going to remember his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Jacob, Yisrael. And he hasn't forgotten. That's why we're protected, and he's given us the opportunity to remember, to seek, and to return, and which is what we're doing right here, right now, in this captivity. So how true is Yah's word?
Exactly.
What does he tell us to do? Indeed, inquire about the past. How people don't want to look at our history. Talking about Black History Month. There's no such thing. There's no such thing. And every academician who calls himself a professor, PhD, or got a master's degree, and Black History comes out your mouth, you should rip those degrees right off your wall. Right off your wall. Take them off the wall. Black is an adjective. It's not a proper noun.
Right.
So Black History, that should never come out your mouth.
Yeah, that's a word of description.
It's an insult.
Right, and that's a color describing a color. And I'm not Black. You know,
so,
and, right.
When is Yellow History Month?
Yeah.
When is Red History Month?
Right.
When is White History Month? Is there such a thing?
There's no such a thing.
I sound crazy. White, yellow, red? Yeah, that's how they categorize people. The white
brown
race, the yellow race, the brown race, the black race.
History month.
we the only one got the shortest month in the year, the coldest month in the year. You're talking about this is Black History Month. And you know we don't like the cold, so that's just a big slap in the face. We know y'all niggas don't like the cold. We're going to make February. We're going to give y'all the shortest month, the coldest month. Yeah, that's your history.
It's cold, cold world, country.
Oh, yeah.
Black History Month.
And it starts with Dr. Martin Luther King fighting for our civil rights.
Oh, is that right?
That's far back as they go, right? Dr. Martin Luther King, he's the hero for our people.
Oh, is that right?
Only hero we've got, besides Harriet Tubman, they're going to put a $120 bill now.
Oh, is that right? How civil, country? How civil?
Rather than put $20 bills in our pocket, you're going to put a sister on a $20 bill. We'd rather have the $20 bills in our pocket. Keep Hamilton or whoever's on that. We ain't worried about Harriet. She did her job. She good.
Yeah. She good.
She wasn't a Democrat or a Republican. She was a freedom fighter.
Nah, yeah,
ain't none of them white faces on them dollar bills, freedom fighters. At least not for us. So don't do us no favors. Just put the $20 bills in our pockets so we can do something for ourselves.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah. But for, on a real tip, Mosiah is giving us the antidote right here. Right? Indeed, inquire about the past. Before you were born, since Yah created man, human beings on earth, from one end of the earth to the other, has there ever been anything as wonderful as this? Has anyone heard anything like this? Did any other people ever hear the voice of Elohim speaking out of the fire? Nobody's heard God except us. They looking for him in CERN's collider. I don't think they're going to find him there. They looking for him in church with their idols. They looking for him in the mosque with their Ka'ab stone. But what do y'all say about these things? He's jealous. How are you going to get credit to a stone, to a rock, to something that you made with your hands? Wouldn't that make you furious if you made something, somebody else was taking credit for it?
Exactly.
How about if you invented a car and I like, yo, this is my car. I made it. And I put years of work into this car. This is my car. Don't y'all like my car? Yeah, Katriel, we love your car, man. Whoa, man. And then you standing there looking at me like I'm stupid. Because you know you made it.
Right.
But I'm getting all the credit. And they ain't giving you the accolades for your work that you did.
Well, they got a fellow on a wooden cross. Wood.
And what the most I say about that, you can't imagine me to be the likeness of anything that I created and don't worship it. Yeah, I gave it to the other people. But you, Israel, I'm separating y'all from them. I don't want y'all to have that mentality because I'm trying to do something new in the earth because I know the inclinations of man. And you have to specify, hey, don't worship no wood, no stone, no stars, no moon, no sun, no water, no frog, no bull, none of that. Don't even look for a man or a woman, none of that. Because you didn't see me when I was talking to y'all, did y'all? Spoke to y'all fire, scared y'all half to death, didn't I?
Right.
Yeah, so he said, okay, y'all want to worship idols? I'm going to give you your full of idols. You're going to have so much to me coming out your ears. And that's what's happened. The idols are coming out of our people's ears.
Exactly. Buku. Hey, Katriel. Did you see how the Russians deal with their people, how they did their crackdown? Quite different than the crackdown in the U.S., wasn't it?
Well, they don't say in Russian.
You weren't coming over there talking about, just ow! Just ow!
I've seen documentaries on the Russian prisons.
Right.
Trust me. The prisons here are like hotels compared to over there.
Yeah. I mean, I think a notorious one, I think one of the most notorious prisons is Parchman. I've heard about Parchman, Mississippi. I think that's a notorious. I think some of the Freedom Riders were sent there for 60 days or 70, 90 days or whatnot during the time of the so-called Civil Rights Movement. I think some of the Freedom Riders were sent there to teach them a lesson. It's a notorious prison in the southern in Mississippi.
I bet you'd be rather sent there than Siberia.
I'm pretty sure I would. My back would. I couldn't make it, man. Me and the cold don't get along, Kadri.
Siberia, bro. Probably one of the coldest places on earth.
Exactly.
And that's where they send their prisoners.
Exactly. Well, Kadri,
we'll treat them harshly.
Man, what you said? Well, if you've done with your commentary on it, well, we can move right along to the next segment of our study session, the Book of Psalms. Katriel, are you going to go back, once you get with Psalms, are you going to go back and repeat on Proverbs? Are you going to go to Songs of Solomon, Ecclesiastes? What are you going to do when you're done with Psalms?
What you want to do? I could go back on Proverbs.
Yeah, let's go. So I think we need to do a lot of redundancy. I think you need to go back. I mean, I'm just giving an opinion. I think you need to do a lot of redundancy, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Songs of Solomon, then right back to the Psalms again. I think this stuff, I think we need to help them look just like a kung fu teacher. Teach them the fundamentals and teach them over and over again so it becomes second nature to them. What do you think, Katriel?
Well, our Confucius book is the Book of Psalms and Proverbs.
Okay,
Chinese people carrying out the Book of Confucius. Confucius say, what did Confucius say?
Okay,
we know what Confucius said, but do you know what King Solomon and King David said?
Let's do it like
that.
You
know what the Most High said.
Let's do it like that, D. All right.
Yeah, it's necessary because it helps us to conquer our inner nature, human nature, and they address human nature, our impulses, our desires, tilting towards the left when we should be walking the straight and narrow path. So it helps us keep guided on a straight and narrow.
Well, that sounds like a plan, Katria. That sounds like a plan. Thank you, brother.
It also gives us spiritual strength.
Yeah, and we definitely need it, Katria. And this time, we need all the strength we can get.
Of the spiritual kind, not the physical or the mental. Spiritual.
Spiritual kind.
And we don't realize the power of spiritual strength. It's more powerful than the mental or the physical.
All right then, brother.
Yes, sir. Spiritual power. That's what we're tapping into here, because that's what King David had. And his spiritual connection in Psalm 133, this is a psalm, King David. Short and sweet. Praise Yah for the reading of his words. A song of ascent. That's the rising of the spiritual mind by King David. Oh, how good and pleasant it is for brothers to live together in harmony. It is like fragrant oil on the head that runs down over the beard of Aaron, and flows down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon that settles on the mountains of Zion. For it was there that Yah ordained the blessing of everlasting life. I know your book reads a little different, but this is the complete Jewish Bible. And everlasting life, Yah has planted in our midst. He speaks about it, and he ain't talking about heaven when you die. So we know that King David is referring to the anointing of the first high priest, Aaron.
Right.
And this anointing makes him a Mashiach, not a savior, but the first anointed, as was King David. He wasn't the first, he was the second king anointed by Yah. And we know what he said about the first anointed king of Yah. He wouldn't touch him, although he could have killed him on several occasions. But I'm getting a little ahead of the story. We're going to get to that. But there's only two anointed in the nation of Israel. And there were two returning anointed, or Mashiach, or the Greek word Christ. Anointed, Aaron and the king, or the sons of Aaron and the sons of David, King David, or King David himself, as the Most High has proclaimed.
Exactly.
So everlasting life, yes, it's right there. What's your book say?
Well,
that last sentence.
Okay.
You
said some. Psalm 132. Let me look at it right quick. Because I got my page somewhere. I'm in Proverbs. But I started studying back over in Proverbs. Okay. I'm almost at it. 130. You said 133?
Yes, sir. Last verse. Last sentence.
It said... Okay, 133, it says, for there the Elohim commanded the blessings, life forevermore.
Life for how long? So people have in their mind that the planet Armageddon is going to destroy life. It's not going to be no same. We're going to wipe each other out. Extinction, the final extinction. No. How long life is going to be?
And forevermore.
You can't argue with the Most High. Unless he changed his mind. I don't think he changed his mind.
Yeah, and I'm certainly not about to try, Kyrie.
Oh, me neither.
Well, what's your commentary on what we just studied on, Kyrie? Do you have any commentary?
It's powerful meditation. I mean, it was short and sweet. But it is good and pleasant when brothers dwell together in unity. And we haven't had that in, I don't know, how long? Brothers dwelling together in unity. And we haven't seen a high priest since Aaron's time or our ancient time. And it's hard to relate to what this verse is saying, but King David is looking at it from his perspective, that when brothers work together, it's a good thing. That it's a harmonious thing when a high priest is connected with the Most High. And that the Most High has promised us that he will plant everlasting life in our midst. As long as we follow his law, statutes, commandments, and walk in the path that he gave us. And trust me, it's going to come. So my hope and my prayer out there is that the Most High opens up the hearts and minds of our people, as he has promised us that he would do, and that we as his servants are influential in reaching the hearts and minds of our people to tap into the antidote, the solutions that we come across all the time. Deuteronomy 4, he's letting us know what we got to do. So let's do it. Stop arguing.
Exactly. Thank you, Cadriel. And sheep backing off what Cadriel said, I'm going to say the very same thing. Let's stop arguing. Just do it. Work together and do what Yah says. The problem is, the problem therein lies when we're leaning to our own understanding and doing what we want to do. It doesn't suffice. It ain't going to work. That being said, brothers and sisters, it's been a pleasant study session, very informative. I hope you got a lot out of it. It's our whole intent to give you a bird's eye view so you can have some understanding and discernment. And we don't know where you got your trail now. We don't know where you're going. But we do know this. You're getting ready to get out of here. You've been studying right along with us, Cartrell and I, on the Real Talk for Real People show. May the Most High bless you, direct you, and order your steps. As a matter of fact, we always suggest get you a new thinker for these study sessions. One that loves the Most High with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, and also your brothers and sisters as you love yourself, and that thirst after righteousness. That's the kind of thinking you need. That's going to work for you in these study sessions. Anything else going to work against you. You're going to lean to your own understanding. You're going to get in trouble. May the Most High bless you. We love you. Come on right back tomorrow. We're going to study along together. Thank you, Cartrell. May the Most High bless you, brother.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, brother. Thank you very much.
Okay, I thought you put me on mute.
No. I don't do that until you start reading through your papers. And sometimes you read to your paper and, you know, during the study session. I only did that once. Because for some odd reason, that was some heavy paper you had today. Any other time, it's pretty light. But I don't know, it's heavy notebook paper. But
no, it's Ritz cracker paper.
Oh, but I tell you what, Cadriel, normally it's not a distraction. But for some reason, that Ritz was a distraction today.
Yeah, it was right over the phone. It was right on top of the phone.
Exactly.
And, in that lesson, it tells us to seek Yah. I can't bring Yah to you. You have to seek Yah on your own.
Exactly.
You know, you may not like my voice or the way I deliver my message, the message that I'm trying to bring. Most of I put that responsibility not on me, because I find Yah for myself.
Right.
I can't find Yah for you.
Bingo. If it doesn't become an innate part of your nature and second nature to you, you can't find it on your own. We can't find it for you. You got to find it on your own. You got to work along with us in these study sessions to find it on your own, to find that connection. Thank you, Cadriel. Thank you, fellow students. May the Most High bless you. We love you. Shalom and good night. We'll be right back.
Why in the world did you have to change?